You may be seated just for a few minutes. I want to welcome our guest with us today. Hallelujah. Well, first I'll just welcome everyone here today because I want you to hear her name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord's healing somebody today. Hallelujah. We will have a church, a meeting. We'll have a meeting after church for the homecoming service. I want to thank everybody that showed up Tuesday night for National Night Out and served. Thank you all for being here, sacrificing your evening from 3 to 5 and then 5 to 8 or longer and later. I'd like to thank Brother Bobel and Joshua Britt and Brother McCulley for coming out and cutting our grass, making our lawn look beautiful for today. Amen. I do want to I want to thank the church for pulling together for Shelby and Reed and their two children. You don't know how much of a blessing you've been to this family. We still need the Lord to open some doors for them. They've been off of marijuana for a week now. Amen. They're attributing, they're thanking the Lord for his mercy and grace who's helping them. I'd like to welcome Gina Linus with us today. Prince, Precious, and maybe that was Linus too. Linus, we welcome you all with us today. May the Lord richly bless you. Thank you for being with us today. Amen. God bless you. Thank you all for being with us. So good to be in the house of the Lord. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. If you'd stand for the reading of the word just for a few minutes, it will only take a few minutes. I'm reading one scripture. I feel like the Lord, there was a lot of stuff the Lord dropped in my spirit. We've had some tremendous preaching over the past month of July. A lot of two men challenged us as dads, and I'm thankful for the challenge as a dad to be the spiritual leader in my home. But here in the Bible, Joshua 24:15, this has become my favorite scripture. But the Bible says that in if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, the pagan gods, the false gods, or the gods of the Amorites, more pagan gods, more false gods, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Just ask you to bow your head. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, this is your word. I pray you will help me to deliver your word. Anoint your spokesman, anoint your preacher, your servant, God, that let the ears and the hearts of your people be open to receive what thus saith the Lord in Jesus' name. Sunday school, you're dismissed in Jesus' name. Sorry for not doing that sooner. But if I could title this, is the choice. The choice. The word of the Lord calls for us to choose. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Forgive me. The choice is more than just a mental acknowledgement or a verbal statement. Amen. The choice is one of dedication, sacrifice, and commitment. You see, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. We look at God's love, and I want you to know God's love is great and tremendous. He's got more love than any of us can have. He's got greater love than any of us will ever have for mankind. I pray that God will keep giving us the spirit of love for people, for souls. Because in these last days, they need to see people that love them, regardless of their nationality, regardless of who they are, because God loves them. But there's some things that God is going to do in their life that's going to begin to transform them. Amen. Just like changing my name, He changed my name. Just like He changed my past and covered my past and erased it to where the only one that knows about my past is me, because He no longer has an account of my past. The only time He has account of my past is from the time that I do not repent again. But we look at God's love in the wrong way. God's love is demanding. Yes, it is freely given, but as we receive it, we are held accountable with what we do with it, with what we do with His love. Many of us say, you know, we take it for granted. We abuse His love. In John 14, 15, it says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." How many of us are keeping the commandments? How many of us are living by the commandments? There's things that are going on in our life today. His word is telling, this is His word. His word is saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of who? My Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. In 2 John 2 and 6 it says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye shall walk in it. Listen. As a child of God, I got to walk in his commandments. Can't lie, can't steal, I can't covet another woman. Come on, that should have been stronger than that. I've got to love his commandments. Some of them are, you may feel, are difficult to live by, but the bottom line is, if you love him, his scripture said, if you love me, you will hold to my commandments. Amen. You will walk in my commandments. Amen. If you see a brother doing something, you need to pray for them. You need to encourage them. It's not your job to judge them, but it's your job to pray for them. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to tell somebody that when we walk in love, I don't know what happens to the church. Somehow we get saved. We think we fall in love. I think we fall in love with God. But then we condemn. We judge. Look, you haven't walked in people's shoes. I'm just going to lay it out. You haven't walked in my shoes, so you don't understand some of the things I do. And I've not walked in your shoes, so I'm not going to understand everything that you do or say. Right? But I need to pray for you, and you need to pray for me, because I want to make it to the kingdom of God. We need to be praying for one. It's not time to quit the church. It's not time to walk away because I got some stuff in my closet, maybe. Not that I do. I'm just making it right. Let me just clarify. I don't have nothing, no junk in my closet. I'm just trying to make it plain. Some of us got junk in the closet that we hiding. And though they hide it in a closet, we need to let God reveal it to them and to deal with it. Amen? Amen? You need to choose to surrender yourselves to God. The Bible in 2 Timothy says in 1:12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which is I have committed unto him against that day." So if you see or know, right? If you know there's some stuff going on, I'm addressing the church right now. So if you're a guest, welcome. I'm talking to the church. The church cannot have revival until the church is in order. Church can't have revival until we're all right. And some of us got junk in the closet. We need to get it right. We need to get it under the blood. We need to get our salvation right with God. We need to get our walk right with God. We need to stop making excuses and get everything in order. Because there are souls that are relying on everything that God's going to do for them. But if we aren't healthy, if we're not healthy, we can't see the glory of God working and making, changing the name, erasing the past. I need the Lord. I need Him in my soul. I need Him in my mind. I need Him in my heart, that when I'm not right with Him, that God deals with me and I get it right with Him. I don't want to walk assuming that I'm okay with God. It's a choice to serve Him. It's a choice. Choose you whom you will serve. 1 Peter 2:23 said, who when he was reviled, reviled not against. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. There is a judge that will judge more than you. I believe in the scripture. The scripture said, judge not, lest ye be judged. My job as a shepherd is to warn you, prepare you, and let you know there's some things going on, and you need to get it right. Joshua knew that all service that was not free and voluntarily could be only, it would only be deceit and hypocrisy, and that God loveth a cheerful giver. You see, if we will give our worship, if we'll give ourselves, right? And when we say we give ourselves, that means we give all. I'm not talking about your finances. Don't get twisted. I'm talking about your soul today. If I'm going to serve God, I'm making a choice to serve Him with all my heart and all my might. I'm not giving half of me. I'm not getting half. He don't get half of me. He gets all of me. Right? It's either that or He don't. I'm not going to serve Him. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to have someone see me on Sunday worshiping God in the house of God, and then on Monday acting like the devil in the street. I'm going to serve God right now as hard as I can. I'm going to love Him as hard as I can. I'm going to worship Him as hard as I can. I'm going to witness as hard as I can. I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus as hard as I can. I'm going to testify as hard as I can. We need to understand that if we don't choose God, we are in effect saying that you have found a better master and whose service will be more pleasant and profitable. Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Let me tell you about Joshua. Joshua dealt with sin in the camp. Joshua rose up very early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. Israel had many battles. They had many battles. They had a tremendous military history. The impregnable force of Jericho, God gave them and destroyed it by the mighty hand of God. The inhabitants of Canaan trembled in terror before the armies of Israel. But as is frequently the case, a great victory had made them susceptible to defeat. I don't take God for granted. I don't take His salvation for granted. I don't assume because I listen to worship in the car or at home that I'm saved. I don't assume that because I pray that I'm saved. I don't take it for granted. Not for the blood that was shed on Calvary. There was a high price paid for my salvation. For some of us, that might mean a lot. Some of us, it doesn't really mean a lot, and I don't know why, but, you know, we sing, sometimes we sing, oh, the blood. that washes me white as snow. The old rugged cross. We sing those. I don't know if we really understand the true meaning of the blood. I did a message or a lesson on blood. Blood is very important in the body. The blood that was shed on Calvary was very important to your sins and covering your sins and my sins. If he had not went to that cross and not hung there for my sins, I'm just going to call it like it is. If he had not hung there for my stinking, filthy, nasty self and died for my nasty spirit, my nasty attitude, my ugly, ugly drug habits, if he had not went there for me, what would have happened? I'd have been lost. But he went there. But listen, with the ashes of Jericho behind it, Israel now faced the next battle in the conquest of Canaan. Situated east of Bethel in the foothills of Judean highlands was the tiny town of Ai. When spies returned from scouting out this town, they reported that 3,000 soldiers were needed to seize this tiny and indefensible town. What they did not know was that whereas God had gone with them into the battle at Jericho because of sin in their ranks, God would not go with them in the battle at Ai. The Israelites soon learned that the difference between victory and defeat is not the military strength, but the presence of the Lord. I need the presence of the Lord in my life. I need to walk in his presence. I need to pray regularly so that I can feel the glory and the power of God in my life. You may not understand what I'm actually saying, but if I do not have the presence of God in my life, the old man wants to rise up. The old man wants to become judgmental. The old man wants to become ugly and hurtful or wants to go back to his old ways. I need the power of God in my life. I need him in my life. I can't walk without him. I can't talk without him. The Israelites soon learned that because the presence of the Lord had left them, that they were defeated. The men of Ai routed the Israelite force, slaying 36 of them and chasing the rest of them to Shebarim. Licking their wound, they returned to Joshua and the elders, who immediately fell on their faces before the ark of the Lord. Joshua thought he had been abandoned by God, but the Lord quickly revealed to him that the defeat at Ai was due to sin in the camp. So, just because I dress this old carcass up, just because I put a tie on and a shirt and a pair of slacks and a pair of shoes does not mean that the glory of the Lord is in this temple. What matters is have I had a relationship with the Lord? What matters is, am I spending some time on my knees praying and seeking the face of God? What matters is, do I care about a soul more than I care about what they look like, how they act, or what they're doing? My thought process is that God is looking, just like he sat with the woman at the well. Amen. He said, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a drink. I wouldn't be asking you for a drink. You'd be asking me for a drink. Sometimes you got to look past the issues of life and begin to see what kind of glory God has just put in front of you for you to be a true witness of who he is. I mean, we can put Jesus on, and every day we walk out, we love people. But how much do we really love people? I mean, how much do we love people? Really, if this is truly the hospital that God created, the church is a hospital. Don't get it twisted. You don't understand. This is a place of healing. This is a place of deliverance. This is a place where people get restored. This is a place where people get buried in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. in the waters of baptism. This is the place the Holy Ghost is flowing in. This is the place they can receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. This is a place where people can be delivered. I had someone say, my family can't be saved there. I scratched my head because they had the nerve to say it to me. A drug addict once was. Alcoholic once was. Left my wife once did. 40 years. Matter of fact, today. Oh, my word. Happy anniversary, honey. 40 years. Yeah, that one. I'll run out of here fast. Lord, have mercy. God, forgive me. But truly, right? Show up to the house of God, and God delivers me from the cigarettes, two packs a day. Being a drug dealer on top of a user and an alcoholic, God delivered me of all that. Put a woman back in my life that did not need to come back, did not have a reason to come back, had all the right to finalize the divorce, but God put her back in my life. Let me raise my two children. Let me see my two grand, all my, not my two, but all my grandchildren. Gave me two adopted children. God has been good to me. I can't turn my back on God. Someone said, well, what if you're not in the pulpit anymore? It don't matter. This don't make me who I am. What y'all pay me don't make me who I am. I'm a child of Christ. Amen. I'm a child of the King. My daddy has been good to me. My earthly dad, let me say that. My earthly dad's been good to me. My earthly bishop been good to me. But there is nobody that can love me and hold me and take care of me like my heavenly Father. The one who walks with me when no one else can be around me. He's the one that knows my every thought, my every intent, everything that's going on in my heart, in my soul. Times when I've been like, I don't even know where I'm at anymore, Lord God. I don't know what you got me here for. What am I doing? And here's what he does. He walks up to me. My most darkest moments. And he just says, I want you to know I love you.
He says, amen. I just love you. Amen.
You just keep doing what I'm doing. Yeah. You just keep doing what you're doing. You don't worry about what people think. Don't worry about what people do. Amen. You're not in it for the people. You're in it for me. What you do is for the kingdom of God. Hear me, church. What you do is for the kingdom of God. It's not for what you gain by being in the house of God. It's what you do for the kingdom of God. What souls will be touched in these last days? I thank God that he gave me right now. That scripture has been mine for 29 years. God has given me that. That was the first scripture God gave me. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Wife didn't want to come back to church after God delivered me. I was like, this is crazy. Makes no sense to me. Your husband get delivered of drugs. He's no longer dealing no more. He's not yelling at you anymore. He's not running the streets anymore. And you say this is not the place. I said, well, you don't get to take my children nowhere. I brought my children to this church. Brought them to church. Thank God for mothers. A lot of them helped me get my baby girl's hair done because I could not get ponytails right for nothing. But they helped me keep my kids together. 30 days we come to church. I'd cry, God, some way, somehow, touch my wife. On the 29th day, it was the 29th because I think there was 30 days in that. And I got up that morning. My wife sat up in bed and says, is it all right if I come to church with you? Man, I tell you what, I did everything I could to contain myself. I said, baby, it's okay, yeah. Inside, I would like to show you how I was doing it inside, but I don't want to hurt my back anymore than what I am. But I looked like I had arms going everywhere. I was like, woo, hallelujah. I was, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. You know, back then it was yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, something like that. Right? We would do the sign language with it and all that. You know, but I was excited. I was like, yeah, baby, it'll be all right. Yeah, you can go. I didn't want to know how excited I was. I come to church, man, and I was like, okay, God, you're awesome, God. You're a great God. You're a great God. Ever since then, God has been doing works in our lives. Let me tell you something. You cannot mistakenly make the wrong choice. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of revival in our lives. Amen. I need the Lord. Amen. The Lord is what made me who I am today. He delivered me. I should not have a mind that even is able to understand Scripture, let alone hold on to some Scripture, let alone quote Scripture, let alone even speak to you and hold on a normal conversation. But God. He knew when he stepped into my mess that he was going to have someone that would make a choice. Back to Joshua. So he rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes. In Joshua 7:16, the tribe of Judah was indicated. Then all the families of Judah were marched before Joshua and Zerah, pointed out as head of the sinning family. Aren't you glad we don't do that now? Oh, I didn't get no amen. Huh? I know back in the day when he was pastor, and if you had sin, you got up in front of the church and said, hey, I just sinned, y'all. Forgive me. But just think, I mean, Joshua said, oh, no, y'all the ones that stole that stuff, come on. You coming on up here, we're going to parade you in front of everybody because you brought the wrath of God on us because of your nasty, stinking, sticky fingers. So we want everybody to know who stole the stuff, which caused a curse on all of us. See, we don't get to see what's causing the curse on the church right now. We don't get to see what's actually happening unless God reveals it in a spiritual dream or in a vision or something, right? But God is tired of people not making a full choice of whom they will serve. God needs people that are sold out for the kingdom of God. We say, you know what kills me? God gonna bless me, but yet where are they today? Look, I can't, I'm telling you, you can't tell me God can't save your family in a church that God delivered me from the drugs and alcohol. Amen? Not every church has a move of the Holy Ghost. Not every church has gift of healing. Not every church has gift of tongues and interpretation. Not every church. So when people tell me they may want to leave, I'm sorry, you won't catch me beg. Because you done twisted something. You lost out with God somewhere. Because our job is to pray for one another. My job is to pray for you, and your job is to pray for me. My job is to pray for your children, and your job is to pray for my children. My job is to pray for your children and your grandchildren, and your job is to pray for my children and my grandchildren. My job is to pray for extended family, and you're to pray for my extended family. I'm to pray for your lost husband, and you're to pray for my lost family. I'm to pray for your children that God would move. I'm to pray for your family in the name of Jesus. I pray for your lost husband. I'm to pray for this. I'm pray for your lost son. And you pray for my lost family. I got a son-in-law that needs Jesus. We call ourselves children of God, but are we really children of God? Joshua bade Achan to give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make the public confession. Achan confessed that his sin began innocently enough. See, this is where it happens. See, sin starts out innocently. Sin starts out innocently enough when he saw the spoils of war. He said, well, they're not going to use that anymore. They don't need that. don't need it anymore. I need it more than they need it. Right? We done ran them out of their own city. They don't need their gold. They don't need their money. They'll never know that they're missing it. We ain't letting them come back. I know that's not proper vernacular, but in your English teachers. But they don't need it. We'll take it. It started out innocently making a judgment call. They made a judgment call that they don't need what was left there. But immediately that simple, slight, degenerated into covetousness. But worse than that, because he thought he could get away with it. You and I can't get away with nothing with God. I can't hide nothing from God. Luke 8, 16 through 17 records, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they might enter in, may see the light. For nothing is secret. Nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. The seeing eye of God searches even the innermost secrets of men. No sin, however large or small, escapes his eye. Choice. The choice. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I'm going to ask God to forgive me. Look, I'm telling you, I'm going to serve God. Whether we have a church or whether we don't have a church, I'm going to serve God whether you serve God or you don't serve God. I just want you to know God is telling us to make a choice. God wants us to make a choice. We need to make a choice. There's things going on in this world that his return is very close to coming. Exodus 2 describes how Moses spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. He looked this way, and he looked that way. The Bible says, and he saw no man, so he slew the Egyptian. Right? He thought he could get away with killing somebody. In Exodus 2:12, the very next day, however, Moses' sin was discovered, and he had to flee from the land of Pharaoh, and spend the next 40 years in Midian. Moses' sin was unsuccessfully hidden. Beloved, King David had a similar experience after signing the Bethesda of Bathsheba and sinning with Bathsheba and attempting to cover his sin through the death of Uriah the Hittite. The trespass of David soon came to light when Nathan the prophet pointed his finger in the king's face and said, "Thou art the man." 2 Samuel 12:7. In remorse, King David said, "O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are now not hid from thee." Psalm 69:5. The choice should not be made out of convenience. You know what I mean by that? Man, I'm grateful for anybody that gets saved on their deathbed. I'm grateful for anybody getting saved. But nobody should be going, "I want to serve God just to get out of this trouble." Sometimes it's out of convenience. You know, "God, I need you now because I can talk about it because I'm guilty." Right? I said, "Lord, don't let me die from this coke overdose. Lord, if you save me, I won't do it again." Lie number whatever. I don't remember how many lies that was. Right? But it's a lie. God knew it was a lie. He already knew I was lying to him. He didn't catch him off guard, but he had mercy and saved me, not the overdose at that moment. But still, there are some of us that conveniently call on the name of the Lord when it conveniences us, when it's not an inconvenience, when we need him the most. And then when we don't need him, we just put him back up on the shelf and say, "Okay, right now, I just need to keep you at a distance so I can still do what I want to do." Acts 24:22-24 through 25 says, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. When it fits my schedule, when it's convenient for me to serve you, when I'm done doing what I want to do, when I'm done sowing my oats, when I'm done enjoying life, when I'm done. Can I say it? No kids in here. When I'm done running with the women, when I'm done running with the men, when I'm done doing my own thing. That's the word. You can't be mad at me. You can get mad at God. I'm only preaching His word. So the choice should not be made on the call of sacrifice of what we may have to surrender. Sometimes we think, man, if I serve God, man, the choice of serving God, man, it's going to cost me so much. In closing, y'all thought I was going to go an hour, didn't you? Remember, before Christ, B.C., before Christ in my life, many a times there were things that would happen to me. Because of being raised in a church, I knew I could call on the Lord because my mom and dad had taught me to pray, taught me how God was a good God and God was a loving God and God was faithful and how God was everything. But I never experienced the Lord. I'd never experienced the glory and the power of the Holy Ghost. I'd never been filled with the Holy Ghost. I got baptized at, I think it was 1973, something like that, if I remember my baptismal certificate. But I remember, and when I was sitting in the church, about where Brother Darrell is, you know, I couldn't fathom a God that would love me enough. You know, I just couldn't fathom a God. I was here, I was delivered, but I still could not fathom and understand the comprehension of love that a God, that a Lord and Savior like Jesus Christ could bestow on me. Someone that had walked away from his family, someone that was had used his name in vain. I'm going to make it plain. Okay? Used his name in vain. I'd always been told if you use the name in vain, you're pretty much not going to ever experience the power and the glory of God. So I'm sitting there where Brother Darrell is, and though I had felt the presence of God many a times, I felt his presence. But I never could get past the presence of his spirit. Can't get my button. I couldn't get past that, right? I couldn't get past. What I could not get past was what the devil kept replaying in my mind. The devil kept saying, there's no way that the Lord loves you that much. He said, because you were unfaithful to your wife. You are a drug dealer. You are a drug addict. You're an alcoholic. You yelled at your wife. You cheated people on their drugs. There ain't no way that God could love you. No way. So I sat there. I could feel the presence of God, but that was about all I could feel. And a young man I've told this story many a time. Young man, Brother Garrison, I don't even know if he's still preaching. I don't know if he's even alive. I don't know what he is. He was a young man then. God was, he was preaching that Sunday night. And all of a sudden, he got about right here. And God stopped him. And he said, God told me to tell you, you haven't forgiven yourself. He's already forgiven you of your whole past. It's gone. He said, to tell you, he said, it's not even no longer written down. It's because you haven't forgiven yourself. That night was the first night the Holy Ghost I'd ever spoke in tongues for 2 hours. Drunkenly, I'm telling you, I was like a drunk. I couldn't drive. They helped me out. Church shut down. They helped get me out to the car. I sat in the car. Wife drove home. I was sitting there speaking in tongues. Wife helped me in the house. From that point on, choice. I chose. That from that time on, I was not turning back. Whatever God wanted for me, I was going to do. Whatever He called me to do, it didn't matter if it was in America, overseas. I didn't care where it was going to send me. I didn't care if He sent me to the projects. I didn't care where He sent me. But whatever He, wherever He said go, I was going to go. Little bit did I know He was sending me here. But what I will tell you is, when you choose God, choose Him with all your heart. Stand with me. Here's the reason you want to make the right choice. It's for eternity. Everything we do here is to make it into eternity with Him. Second Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. So my home is temporal. My vehicle is temporal. Whatever's in my bank account is temporal. These clothes are temporal. Everything that I have is temporal. But what we need to do, the scripture says this, they're temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So today is the day of salvation. The Bible said that when they had realized that they had crucified their Messiah, the book of Acts, they asked Peter, what is it that we must do? We have crucified our Messiah. What is it that we must do to be saved? Peter said unto them to repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of your sins, and with a promise, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is how you get an eternal life. Being able to make it into the kingdom of God. Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. Every head bowed. The choice. Many of us have an opportunity to make the right choice today. There's more to the choices that some of you have made in turning away from things that you're doing, but there's more. The book of Acts says that I need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive. We all need the Holy Ghost. And it's not the Holy Ghost that most preachers preach. Most preachers say that you receive Christ. I don't get to receive Christ. The evidence of Christ being in you is the evidence of the Holy Ghost being manifested outward. It flows outward. It's like a well. That's why He said it in His scripture. He said it's like flowing rivers. It's like a flowing stream. It'll flow out of you. Every head bowed. worship with us as we sing. If you want to come to the altar, the altar's open. Make a choice today. Will you make a choice today? Choice to serve the Lord today, to give your life to Him, to allow Him to make a difference in your life. Lord, if there's sin in my camp, I'm asking you to forgive me. Lord, if I brought sin in the church, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me. Lord, if I'm hiding sin, I'm asking you to forgive me. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. I want to be blessed. I want the Lord in my life. I know I can tell you right now. Let me just be transparent with you. Right now, without the Holy Ghost, I'd be back in the street. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be transparent with you. Without the Holy Ghost, I'd be back in the street. I'd probably leave my wife again. I need the Lord. I need the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, if you have not spoken tongues and you need the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, you need to come be filled with the Holy Ghost today. Seek for the Holy Ghost. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Lord, I love you. God. Lord God, touch your people. Touch your people today, Lord God. Touch your people, Lord. Hallelujah.
Here I am to bow down. Here I am to sing. say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely.
Yes, Lord.
Altogether worthy.
Hallelujah.
Altogether wonderful to me.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God.